Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Chav Ches. We are five lines from the top of the Amud. Eloi Itmar Hachi Itmar. Let's go back to Rabbi Yechanan's Halacha. Says the Gemara based on the Akasha that we had, which we concluded yesterday's Daf with. The Gemara says, well, evidently Rabbi Yechanan's Halacha was meant to be stated a bit differently. Originally, we figured Rabbi Yechanan was speaking about a zor, a non-kohen who set up the marocha. If he sets up the wood arrangement on the mizbeach, he's chayiv misa. And the Gemara says, well, it cannot be so because sidur hamarocha is not a final avoida. It's not an avoida tama. It leads into the next avoida, which is the sidur shnei gzireitim. And the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. Elei itmar chi itmar. If the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan was learned in Beis Medrash, this is the way it was meant to be learned. Amar basim Rabbi Yechanan, zor shesider, shnei gzire eitzim chayev. We're not speaking about arranging the actual marocha. That's not a conclusion, that's not a final phase. Rather, Rabbi Yechanan simply said that if the zor was mesader is shnei gzire eitzim, so after you have the main arrangement, you add two additional blocks of wood, that is considered a final stage, and avoid the tama, and therefore a zor, if he gets involved in that, he's chayev misa. Hoyil ve'avoida tamahi is considered a final avoida. Now, although it's going to be followed by more arrangements, the sidur of the ivori hatamid on that firewood arrangement, however, Rabbi Yochanan maintains that as far as wood is concerned, this is the final wood installment. We focus on the material, and therefore it's considered avoida tama as far as wood is concerned. And actually, there's machlekes because Rav and Levi back on the Chav Dalad disagreed. They held that since there's going to be some more arrangements, going to be mesada de ivarim afterwards, then we focus on the location. The arrangements over here have not yet been completed, and therefore the shnei gzira itzim don't constitute an avoida tama. That's machlokes between Rabbi Yechanan, who says it is avoida tama, therefore zor is chayiv miso, and the other shittas who disagree. Maskefla Rava has a problem. He says, if you tell me it's an avoida tama and a zor is chayiv miso, that pretty much indicates that we're speaking about a very chashava avoida al mi'ato to be pious, and you can only allocate this avoida via the pious means. And incidentally, the Mefarshim explained that the word pious comes from lefayis, to appease. We discussed this yesterday. To avoid machlokes and meriva and confusion and mayhem. Pious is mefayis. You appease, you ask mechila. So it's meant to appease the kohen who does not get the schus. He shouldn't feel discriminated against and deprived. So, says Rav, if this is considered an avodah chashuva, an avodah tama, then you should have to have a pious to allocate the avoida of sidur shnei gzira itzim. V'loi boi a pious, says the Gemara? Does it not need a pious? We looked in a brisa that it does. V'atanya, misha zocha b'trumas hadeshen. Now, although it doesn't have its own independent lottery, but it was included, it was bundled in with the trumas hadeshen. Misha zocha b'trumas hadeshen. The coin that won trumas hadeshen, yizke b'sidur shnei gzira itzim. He also gets the privilege to do the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, so we see there was a pious conducted for it. So what was Rav's kasha? Hachi ka'amar, this is what he meant to ask. True, ultimately it was included in a pious, but it didn't have its own independent pious, why not? Yifais lo b'fnei atzma. Why doesn't it have its own independent finger count if it's so chashiv? The Gemara responds, you know why? Elo kedam rinan. Technically, it should have its own. But as we mentioned earlier, back on the Chav Beis, it was bundled together with the Trumas Hadeshen so that it makes Trumas Hadeshen more of an attractive avoida and generates interest amongst the Gehanim, which otherwise would perhaps not be there. It's a Molda night, Avoidas Laila. So to balance that out, they gave some extra perks to the fellow who does Trumas Hadeshen, and it was bundled together with Trumas Hadeshen. And that's what the Brisa says, the one who is Zeich and Trumas Hadeshen, what goes along with that is the Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim. So you're right. Of course, Shnei Gzira Eitzim is a Choshev HaAvoida, requires a pious, and indeed a pious was applied to it. Now Rashi tells us to skip the next seven lines, all the way down to the words Amar Marzutra, which is five lines from the bottom of the from the end of the perek. So we begin there. Amar Marzutra v'teima Rav Ashi. Afanana mitanina. He's going to support Rabbi Yechanan's contention that Siddush Negzir Eitzim is considered Avodah Tamah. And he says, you know what? We actually learned this in the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah coming up soon. Amar Lehem HaMamuna. The Mamuna, the administrator, turns to the Kehanim. Tzuru, go out and take a look. Imegiyaz Man HaShchita. Go up to the high point, to the up on top of the Chayma, to the roof, and take a close look at the horizon. See if it's already been lit up properly, which would indicate the time for Shechitas HaTamid, which can only be done by day. Ve'ilu zman sidush gzire etzim leiktani. But we don't find any reference to going to check whether it's light enough to set up the Shnei Gzire Etzim. Apparently, that was done at night and was considered the last arrangement for the night and considered a final avoid, an avoid atama, despite the fact that there's more coming, a vore atamid, but that's in the morning. And therefore, it's unrelated to Shnei Gzire Etzim, which is disconnected from the day's avoida. Let's take a look at Rashi. So it's around 10, 11 lines from the top. Af anan namitanina. We're going to prove this Siddush Gzirin Avodah Tami. Krab Yechna. But the like Rav Levi. You see, Rav Levi gave us a list, a very limited list of avoidas, which resulted in Misa, should a Zor get involved with them. And on that list, we don't have Siddush Negzir Eitzim. Why? Because they held it wasn't considered an avodah tama mishum diyesh achreya sidur evarim, because it is followed by the evarim, which are being arranged on that same location. Therefore, they didn't consider the sidur shnei gzir etzim as a final avodah. Rabbi Yechon disagreed. He said, when it comes to wood, this is the last wood item being arranged, and therefore we focus on material, and it's considered the final avodah with wood. We have right from the Mishnah, which speaks about going to check to ascertain with certainty that there's enough light out there to allow for the carbon tamid. But there's no such concern when it comes to Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. Vilu Zman Shnei Gzirei Eitzim Lektani. Alma Avodah Lailah. Apparently it took place at night. V'hu Gmar Sidur Ma'aroch. Therefore it's considered the final phase of the Sidur Ma'aroch. Now, although it was followed eventually by Sidur Eivarim, that's connected to the next day and disconnected and unrelated to the Sidur Shnei Gzir Eitzim, which was a nighttime activity. The Sidur Eivarim, Shu Avoid Esyoim, Tchilas Avoid Acherasi. It initiates a new Avoid. Veloigmar Sidur Hamarochi. So it's a very fundamental difference of a perspective here. The Shnei Gzira Eitzim, which precede the Sidur Eivarim, are they connected? Arrangement, it's one process. That's Rav and Levi's Shita. Or Rabbi Yechon says, look, this takes place at night. This in the morning. It's unrelated, unconnected. Sidur Shnei Gzira Eitzim is considered an avoida pertaining to wood. Delivery of wood, hakrav of wood on the Mizbeach. When it comes to Eivar Atom, it's a different avoida. It's not considered part of the firewood arrangement. It's not Sidur HaMarocha. So that's the raya that we bring to Rabbi Yechanan, who considers Sidur Shnei Gzir Eitzim as an avodah tama, which results in Misa for a Zor. Continues the Gemara. No, not necessarily do we have a raya from there. Because perhaps Shnei Gzir Eitzim also had to be done by day. Why then were they not so concerned about that? Why didn't they go to the lookout and go see whether it's already light enough for that? We only discussed something which cannot be fixed up. Once you shecht the tamid, you can't reshecht it. So that had to be done with great care. To really, really make sure 100%, dispel any doubts as to the fact that it's already past nighttime. As opposed to wood arrangements, which can, at worst case scenario, be redone if it turns out that it was still nighttime. Therefore, there's no mention of that as soon as they observe, even from the ground below, that it's already getting light, they can safely assume day has arrived. There's no need to do that extra precaution, go up to the rooftop and confirm that the new day has arrived. But certainly, Shnei Gzireisim have to be done by day. It's not like this was night, this was day. They both took place by day. The firewood arrangement and the Evar HaTamid. Why then does Rabbi Yochanan maintain that Siddur Shnei Gzirim is considered an Avodah Tama? Because it's the last phase of the wood arrangement. It's the last delivery of wood. And therefore, concludes that process, considered an Avodah Tama. Therefore, Fazar Shadur is Chayav Misa. And it's unconnected to the Evar HaTamid, which is a different thing. It's Evar HaTamid, a different material. It's not wood related, and therefore, two things don't relate to each other. Hadron Allah Barishoina. Continues the Mishnah. Amar Lama Mamuna. So the Mamuna turns to the Kehanim. Who is the Mamuna? Rashi says, HaMamuna is Askan. It's Askan Kohen Gadol, the backup Kohen Gadol, the vice president. Tosis and Tosis Yishanim here disagree. They say the Mamuna was not the Askan Kohen Gadol, rather, he was an administrator. He was in charge of this job, this chore in the Beis HaMikdash. Make sure that the Zman HaShechita arrived. In any case, the Mamuna turns to the Kehanim and he says, Tzu Uru, go out and take a look. Rashi says, Tzu means go on top of the Chayma, on top of the roof, onto a high point in the Beis HaMikdash, which will give you a proper vantage point to really observe the eastern horizon. And go take a look. Imegia Zman HaShechita, if the Zman of Shechita Satam had arrived. Imegia, indeed, if it arrived, Haroya, the fellow, the lookout, would say, Oimer Barkai, it's very light. Masya ben Shmuel, he was in charge of the pious, of scheduling there, and he would have a different way of expressing it. Masya ben Shmuel Omer, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Atche B'Chevron, did the whole eastern portion of the sky light up all the way until Chevron? Why mention Chevron? So Rashi and Amid Beis brings a Yerushalmi. It was only we mentioned Chevron to invoke the merit of the Avos of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov who are buried in Chevron, which added schus and weight to the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he made mention of Chevron at the onset of the day's Avodah. In any case, that was his question. And the fellow up there would say yes, positive. He would confirm, yes, it's light all the way till Chevron. Why did they have to go through this elaborate procedure, go up on the rooftop and check the sky? Why couldn't they simply observe from down below? The answer is Shepam Achas. It turns out that one time they thought that it was already morning and it was really still middle of the night. Pamachas Olam Oir Alavon. It so happens that once the illumination coming from the moon was seen, V'dimu She'er Mizrach, and they figured the eastern horizon is already lit up, it's already daytime. Sunlight. And it turns out they were mistaken. It was still middle of the night. They confused sun with moon. V'shachtos ha-tamid. And they proceeded with the tamid. And it turns out that it was possible, because you can't bring a tamid at night. And it turns out that it had to be burnt. V'yitziu l'beis ha-sreifa, they took it to burn. So on account of that story, they instituted a takana to go make sure with 100% certainty that it was already daylight. Haridu kohen gadol l'beis ha-tefila. Now we go back to Yom Kippur. Up until this point, throughout the previous perek and throughout this mission, up until this point, it wasn't necessarily Yom Kippur related. We discussed the lotteries and all the kehanim involved in the karbonis, which wasn't necessarily Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol, is meant really to do the avodah. So it was just a general discussion regarding the scheduling the Beis HaMikdash. But now we go back to Yom Kippur. They determined that new day has arrived. It's Heir Mizrach, meaning it's already after Alei Shachar, it's still before sunrise, but it's still pretty much lit up, and it's the new day, it's Yom Kippur. Haridu Kohen Gadol B'Sat Fila, they brought the Kohen Gadol to the mikveh to prepare him for the Avodah. Continues the mission, Zaklal Hayyub HaMikdash, this was the general rule in the Beis HaMikdash, Kolei Mesech Es Raglav, Ton Tfila. Tfila is required for a person who's Mesech Raglav, as she says, a person who uses the facilities. Mesech Raglav means he covers his feet while he sits. Tfila is required before he proceeds with the Avodah. V'chol ha-metal mayim, Ton kiddush yadayim raglaim, and washing hands and feet from the kir is required for a person who's merely involved in mei raglaim. Let's take a look at Rashi, beginning from the new parak in the middle of the Amud. Says Rashi, Omer lehem ha-mamuna, and Rashi maintains the mamuna is hu has gam. Tzu'u uru'u ala choyma, up on the wall, or ala gag, whether the zman ha-shchita arrived, shchita satomet, kloymar, im heir ha-mizrach, sha-shchita psula ba-layla, k'tachsib b'yam zivchachem, you can only do shchita by day. The fellow went up to haroi, the lookout, zesha ala gag, he would say, barkai, lashon tzoyra, it's light, k'moy l'man ha-yos le-barak, heir barakim, it's a lashon of light. Atchu bechevern, atche nira hatzoyer at chevern. He would say the tzoyer, this illumination extends all the way to chevern. Vu omer lahen hein farsh v'gumor. Lo moitzuch lekach. Why do I have to go climb up la'ales legag v'lirois? Because at one time, olam oer alavano, somach toyer alavano, somach l'shachrus. V'dimu v'chish v'they figured that it was the sun. V'yitziu l'beis hasreifa, when they realized their error. V'kshevinu shenishal v'alayim. Harid ken golam farsh v'gumor. Mesach raglov, that's using the facilities in the kavim hagdolim. Veloson mesach k'moy nidlan ha-mesach la'aretz, covering the ground. Levishat tzorach in the kavim hagdolim. Korei al birkov machasas gufos raglov. V'chein b'shol k'siv v'sham ma'ara. V'yav v'shol la'asach as raglov. For mei raglaim, all we need is the kiddush dan raglaim minakir. Continues the Gemara. So the lookout would say, barka, it's already light. Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel Aimer Barak Barka. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you need to get even a little bit more light, more developed. Barka is not enough. Barak Barka. Rashi says, Heir Yosemi Barak. It's a more advanced stage of light. Rekiva Aimer, even further than that. Allah Barka. It's even more than that, in order to dispel any doubt. Nechuma ben Apashin Aimer, he says even more. Av Barka Bechever. That denotes a more developed stage of light. Masya ben Shmuel, Hamimun al Piyasis, he was in charge of Piyasis. Omer, his nusach was, Heir Pnikel Amizrach, Atche Bechevroin, as we said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yudim Maseir Omer, the light had to be even more developed. Heir Pnikel Amizrach, Ad Bechevroin, Vyotsu Kola Om, Ishish Lom Lachtoi. This was his question. Is everything lit up? Is everybody ready to go out to do work? Which is really very, very far into the day, because it's already time to go to work, which is Netzachama. Ihachi, if that's the case, already so advanced, Nogale Tuve. It's very excessively late. Noga, it's late. Late Tuve, even very, very much, very late, very advanced in the day, and you don't need a lookout for that. Everybody sees, it's already sunrise. And says the Gemara, Liskar Po'alam Kamrina. When he said, Yotsu Kola'am Ishish Lamnach, he didn't mean the actual laborers. He meant that the time has come for the employers to go look for workers who begin their workday at Netzachama. So still prior to sunrise, and it wasn't yet 100% clear. You need to have a lookout to go confirm that it's bright enough. Amar of Safra, Tzloise de Avram. You know when Avram Avinu davened his tefillas ha-mincha? Mechimesh shachri kaisli. When the walls will begin to blacken and darken and begin to form a shadow. Rashi explains this is from Chatzos onward, from 12 o'clock onward. Now, the obvious kashir is, who is Mesakin Mincha? Wasn't Avram Avinu. Tegmar Brachas Tav Chavav speaks about Yitzchak. Yitzchak tikein tefilas ha-mincha. So why then does the Gemara relate Mincha to Avram Avinu? Tosfos Yeshan provides two tirutzim. Firstly, he says, Yishleimar, the achar shetikna Yitzchak, Hayayimra gam Avram. Kach pirsha ben Otam. And Otam answers, true, Yitzchak Avinu was Mesakeh Mincha, but afterwards Avram Avinu adopted it as well. So why then do we relate it to Avram Avinu? Says Rabbein Chananel, Mipnei Shehu HaIkar. He was the first one to be Mesakeh Tefillah, to introduce the concept of Tefillah. So although this specific Tefillah was introduced by Yitzchak, but Avram Avinu of course adopted it, and it's related to Avram because he was the forerunner of the concept of tefillah. That's the first teretz of Tosfos Yeshan. In Nami, another teretz, he says, the truth is that Avram Avinu had already davened mincha, even before Yitzchak instituted it.
He
He didn't establish it as a practice amongst the mishpacha until Yitzchak Avinu was masakin it, and he proves the point because afilu iruru tavshilin kiyem kadamrin kamon. The Gemara soon will tell us that Avram Avinu was makayim everything, even the erev tavshilin takan drabbanon. Certainly he davened mincha, but he didn't masakin. He wasn't masakin it as an established requirement in the family until Yitzchak Avinu came along. That was apparently his tafkid, his role to introduce mincha, and that's why we relate it to Yitzchak Avinu. But of course, after the fact, it is considered, at least in our Gemara, referred to as Tlosid Avram. Says, well, when does that begin? Once the walls start to blacken, which is Chatzos. How is that? So Rashi explains like this. You have a wall. Let's assume it's a straight wall. So the eastern surface, the side of the wall facing Mizrah, facing the east, will start to form shadows from 12 o'clock onward, because that's when the sun is directly above it. And the rays, which will extend downward and over that top corner of the wall, will form a shadow right at the beginning of that wall, right beyond that point. It's going to skip over the first surface of the wall, because it's going to go over the corner on an angle. So we have a shadow forming at the top of that eastern facing wall. Says the Gemara, really? Mincha begins from Chatzos? Amar Rav Yosef, Anan me Avram, Nekev benigram, Mi benigmar? We're going to learn from Avram Avinu? And Farshim explained, how can we learn from Avram Avinu? First of all, as Rashi says, Avram Avinu was a Zaris. Who says that everybody else is meant to start Mincha at that point? And there's another pshat brought here on the Gilyan, in the name of the Aruch. He says, you can't learn halachis from Avram Avinu, from Kodem Matan Torah. True, he was Mekayim, everything, but you can't learn halacha from Avram Avinu, from Matan Torah. So how could he learn that Mincha begins at Chatzos? Just because Avram Avinu would begin at that point. Now how do we know Avram Avinu began at that point? Because the Pasuk says, Vayetze Yitzchak Osuach Basada Lifnais Erev. So Mincha begins at Erev. Erev, Rashi says, is the point when Noitim Tzolali Erev, when the Tzolim, the shadows of evening, of nighttime, begin forming. So Avram Avinu began at that point. Why do we assume that we're meant to do that as well? Omer Rabbis, Rabbi responded to Rav Yosef, Tana Gomar Avram Avinu. We find that the Tana and the Mishnah learned an halacha from Avram. V'anan lo yigamrinu mei, we shouldn't learn from him. Where do we find this? The Sanya, Uvayoy Mashminoi Yimo B'sar Alosa. Mila is meant to take place during the eighth day, and any time throughout the eighth day. Malamed Shukal Yom Kasha Lemila, could do Mila in the afternoon. Elosha Zrizin Magdim LeMitzvahs. The Zrizin advance. They do it at first possible opportunity. How do we know that? How do we know there's an Indian to be Magdim LeMitzvahs? Shinemar Vayashkim Avram Abayke Vayachvash Chamayre. When Avram set out to do Akedas Yitzchak, he did it in the morning, early in the morning. So we learned there's a Chiyuv, there's an Indian to be Magdim LeMitzvahs, as we do today. Mila is the first thing in the morning. Apparently, we do learn halachas from Avram Avinu. So, what was the Rav's kash? Elam or Rava, I'll explain the Rav's kash. Rav Yosef Haka Kashila. This was his kash. We find in a Mishnah that halach l'maisa, we don't do minchat chatzos. We have to wait a half hour after chatzos. I mean, a half hour of shozmanis. We take the full daylight period, you split it into 12 equal parts. Shozmanis. It's actually less than 60 minutes in the winter. And half of that is the half hour, which we wait after Chatzos, and then do Tulas Mincha. Apparently, we don't follow Avram Avinu all the way. As we find in the Mishnah, the Snan, Chol Avri Pesachim Leis Be'er of Shabbos. So the Pesach was brought after the Korban Tamid. Generally, the Korban Tamid was brought later on in the day. But, suppose Erev Pesach falls on Erev Shabbos. You have to start pretty early. Why? Because you still have to bring the Korban Pesach and also roast it before Shabbos. So they would advance. They would push back the Korban Tamid to the earliest possible moment. When was that? Chol Avri Pesachim Leis Be'er of Shabbos Nishchat B'Sheish HaMechza V'Korban B'Sheva Mechza. You do the Shechita on the Tamid at 6 and a half into the day, at 12:30, half hour after Chatzos. And the Akrova was an hour later. Why do I have to wait until 12:30? Why can't you do the shechita as soon as the walls begin blackening and forming shadows, meaning at 12 o'clock? Apparently the Korban Tamid could not be brought at that early point in the day. You have to wait till 12:30. And the Gemara assumes that tefillahs, Zman tefillah corresponds to Zman Korban. Mincha corresponds to Tamid Sheben Arbaim, as well as the Gemara Brachas over there in Achavah. If we find the Korban Tamid at the earliest can be brought at 12:30, and Mincha as well cannot be said earlier than 12:30. That was Rebbe's kasha. True, Avraham Avinu davened at 12 o'clock, but we don't seem to follow that dictate. Says the Gemara, my kushya. What's the problem? Perhaps, halachically speaking, Mincha begins at 12. The reason why they waited an extra half hour in the Beis HaMikdash was for practical considerations. V'dilma, maybe Kaisla Beis HaMikdash v'sheishamech tzom mashachar. Maybe the walls in the Beis HaMikdash would only begin getting dark at 12:30. Mishum deloy mechav netuva, because they weren't really straight. They had a wide base and they narrowed towards the top. And therefore it would take an extra half hour for the shadows to form on the eastern facing portion of that wall. Why is that? Because if you have a straight wall, then the sun directly overhead will create a shadow, because the rays need to go over that upper point of the wall, and therefore directly below that you have a shadow. But if you have a wall which angles this way, begins wide and narrows, so the sun directly overhead creates rays which angle along the wall, and there's no shadow forming whatsoever. You have to wait an extra half hour for the sun to shift over, in which case some shadows get generated at that point. So that's why I have to wait till 12:30, because they wanted to remove any confusion, any mix-up. The observer might not realize and say, well, there's no shadows now. Well, how are you doing the Korban Tamid? Apparently you can do Mincha at 12 o'clock. And you can do it even before 12 o'clock. There's no shadows there. And you're doing the Tamid Sheben Arbaim. Apparently you don't have to wait for midday. The person won't realize that the walls are different. And generally you have to wait for the shadows. Here you don't have to wait because it's already 12 o'clock even before the shadows are formed. You don't realize that. So to avoid any confusion, any mix-up, any mirshal, Chacham instituted a takana to wait a half hour, because it was the Beis HaMikdash, where shadows wouldn't form until that point. But generally speaking, perhaps you can do Mincha from Chatzais onward as soon as these shadows on your wall begin to form, in accordance with Avraham Avinu. That's one pshat. Inami, says the Gemara, another pshat. Perhaps generally speaking, Chacham did want you to wait a half hour to avoid any confusion, to dispel any doubts, and they made a takana that wherever you are, wait a bit past Chatzos, wait till 12:30 so that those shadows have been clearly formed and it's clear for all to see that it's past Chatzos. The reason why Avraham Avinu took the liberty to daven earlier was because he had it clear. Shani Avraham did stagninus gedoyla hoyse b'libay. He had great command of astronomy. Stagninus, the lashon of astronomy. So he was very proficient in this topic. It was self-made, self-generated knowledge. And he was able to discern the exact moment of Chatzos, which is something that your typical person cannot do. So typically we wait a half hour, but Avraham Avinu was able to do it at exactly Chatzos. Says Rashi off to the right, it's Stagninus. He knew exactly how the heavenly bodies worked, and he knew exactly what time Chatzos was. Hashem gave him this bracha. It's tagninus gdoilo ise beliboy. He had this knowledge coming from himself. And all the kings were very impressed with this thing. Mashgimel epischei, they would come and seek his counsel. Lishol b'mazolis. So Avraham Avinu was unique. And he was allowed to begin his mincha at the exact point of Chatzos. But otherwise, we want to avoid any confusion, and we wait an extra half hour. Inami, another pshat, says the Gemara. Why was Avraham Avinu different? because he was a chacham. Zaken is zeshakan a chachma. Zaken yeshavi yeshiva. He was it wasn't mean a yeshiva. It means like the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, marbi yeshiva, marbi chachma. He was immersed in Torah, derech keva, with talmidim, etc. And as Rabbi Chanan says, shechina imoy. He had this yata d'shmaya to pinpoint the moment of Chatzos, and therefore he took the liberty to daven at that point. But otherwise, typically speaking, we should wait an extra half hour, as we do today. In fact, in Halacha, it's brought down that we begin Mincha a half hour after Chatzos. But the Eved, should a person daven earlier, the whole to do in the Paiskim, the Mishnah Berurah brings the Machlokes on Paiskim, whether or not he's Yoytze. The Svarta say that he's Yoytze is because, technically speaking, we see from here that Zman Mincha really begins at Chatzos. We want to avoid confusion, so we say wait a half hour. But really, Lifnei's Erev is at the point of Chatzos onward. So that's one side to say that you really Yoytze, but the Eved, Yoytze. The other side is to say that it's not even B'di'evet, because the Chachamim were Mesaken, they went away a half hour, and they sort of shifted the Zman Tefillah. They uprooted the Zman Tefillah from Chatzos to 12:30. So perhaps even B'di'evet, you're not Yoytze. It's Machlokes, it's a Paiskim, whether or not you're Yoytze, and B'di'evet, I suppose you're supposed to cover all bases, daven again with a condition, al tonight. In any case, we wait a half hour, half a show is manius, after Chatzos, and that begins as man mincha, mincha gedoy. Continues Gemara on this topic. We find that Avraham Avinu was a zaken, a yeshiva, yeshiva, immersed in Torah, even before Matan Torah. Domar v'chamabar abar chanina, mimein shlavi sein, throughout all the years, the lifetime of our avos, loy perisho yeshiva mehem. The concept of yeshiva was never lacking, never missing. They were always involved in learning, and again, yeshiva means derech kva, in a permanent fashion. Rashi in Bava Kama says, yeshiva means talmidim, lasak shem b'torah. So they learned, and they disseminated Torah to talmidim, all throughout their dirs. Hayu b'mitzrayim, even in Mitzrayim, yeshiva imam, they had a yeshiva, shenemar lech v'safta zikne yisrael, and again, zikne means the elders, the zech shekana chachma. So apparently they were involved in learning and Torah, even in Mitzrayim. Hayu b'midbar, there again, yeshiva imam, shenemar esfali lishivim ish, mizikne yisrael. Says in Avraham Avinu, Zaken v'yeshiv b'shiva haba. What do we find that it was Zaken yeshiv b'shiva haya? Shenem av Avraham Zaken, Baba Yom. Yitzchak as well. Yitzchak Avinu Zaken v'yeshiv b'shiva haya. Shenem arva yiki Zaken Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu as well. Zaken v'yeshiv b'shiva haya. Shenem arva v'eini Yisrael kavdu mizoken. And Eliezer also. Eliezer, the Eved of Avraham, Zaken v'yeshiv b'shiva haya. Shenem arva v'yom Avraham l'avdu zekan b'yisoy. So Zakan again means full of wisdom. Hamoisha b'chalashaloi. He had full command in anything that Avraham Avinu had. What does that mean? Amar b'lazer. He was a zaken, a chacham, and he had full command in what? Shemoisha b'teiras rabbi. He was fully proficient in Avraham Avinu's Torah. And the pasuk concludes, Hu Damesek Eliezer. So Damesek is the name of a town. He came from Damesek, but why? Who? He is Damesek Eliezer. What does that mean? So we have a drash, Amar b'lazer. Damesek is a joint word. Shadoila umashka. Damesek. Doila umashka. He draws and he disseminates and distributes. Mitirosoi sharaboy lachirim. So he learns his Rebbe's Torah and he takes that Torah and transmits it to others as well. Amarav. Kim Avraham Avinu kol haTorah kulu. Although Avraham Avinu was before Matan Torah, he was mekayim the entire Torah. Farshim say through Ruach HaKodesh, through his neshama, he figured everything out. Shenemar Ekev Hashem Avram Bekoili. Hashem favors Avram Avinu because he was Shama Bekoili, and the pasuk continues, Vayishma Mishmarti Mitzvoisai Chukoisai Visoi Roisai. So we see that he was Mekayim the entire Torah. Says the Gemara, how do you know? Amalei Rav Simeon Rachil Rav Ve'ema Sheva Mitzvahs. Maybe he only kept the seven mitzvahs. Ha'ikonami Mila. You can't say only seven mitzvahs because we know he had another mitzvah of Mila. Okay, ve'ema sheva mitzvahs umila, seven plus the mila. And the Mashal says, the word chukaisa in the pasuk denotes mila. Chayk b'sheir isom, as we say in the bracha by mila. So perhaps it's seven mitzvahs plus mila. How do you know he kept the entire Torah? Amalei, Rab responded, imkain, mitzvoisai, v'soi roi soi lamali. If it's only seven mitzvahs and mila, why would the pasuk elaborate to that extent? He kept everything, mitzvah, which indicates entire Torah. Amar Rabbi Tamer of Simon, Kim Avram Avinu Afilu Eruve Tavshilon. Not only did he keep the Torah Shebichsav, even Takanos, which were introduced later on by the Chacham, Eruv Tavshilon. Shenemar Soiroi Soi, which is Lashon Rabbim, Achas Torah Shebichsav, V'achas Torah Shebapeh. He kept both Torahs, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, and over here, Torah Shebapeh is referring specifically to even the mitzvahs and takanos of the Chacham. Let's get back to the Mishnah. Masya Mishmol Omer, he would use the following nusach. Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. That's the first part of the dialogue. Then we have Ad Shebechevron. That's number two. Then we have Hu Omer, and he responds, hey, in the affirmative. Says, what's going on? How did this dialogue take place? Man Omar Hain. Who is the one who said the word Hain? Who confirmed? Ilema Hach Dekoya Igra. If it's a fellow sitting on the roof. So he was the one who said, Achiv Ad Bechevron? And he also said, Hain. So he asked the question, and he responded to himself. Hu Chalom? He's the dreamer, Bumafshan, and the interpreter at once? How does that work? You ask the question, you answer the question, all the same person? Ela Hach Dekoya Ara. Apparently, it was the fellow standing down on the ground below who said Hain. He confirmed that it was light all the way till Chevron. Mano Yoda, how do you know? It's not his business to say Hain. He's standing on the floor below. What's he saying, Hain? So how do we understand the Mishnah? What happened? It says more, we have two options, two ways to understand the Mishnah. Iboyis Aim. We can say it's Hach Dekoya Ara. It was a fellow on the floor below who said Hain. Iboyisim, another pshat would be Hach Dekoya Igra. It's referring to the fellow up on the roof. The more we'll elaborate. Iboyisim, first option is Hach Dekoya Igra. The word Hain was expressed by the fellow standing up there, up high. And it went as follows. There were three steps to the question and answer. Omar Iyu, the fellow on the roof, would say, yeah, I see it's pretty light. Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. The entire eastern sky has been lit up. That's number one. Va'amar Lei Hach Dekoya Ara. And the fellow standing below would respond, well, I see it's lit up, but is it Ad Shebechevron? Do you mean Olei Tel Chevron? The point again was to mention the Schus of the Avos. So that was the fellow on the Eretz responding with a question. Va'amar Lei Iyu. And the fellow up on top would say, yeah, Hein, correct. It's been lit up all the way to Chevron. So that's one way to understand the Mishnah. V'yisema. Second option is as follows. Hach Dekoya Ara. The fellow down on the floor was the one who said Hein. How's that? Omar Iyu Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. The fellow down below would ask a question. Tell me something. Is the entire Mizrach been lit up? V'amar Lei, and the fellow up on the lookout would say, Ad Shebar Chevron, do you mean all the way to Chevron? So that was a follow-up question. V'amalei, and the fellow down below would say, hey, yeah, that's exactly what I had in mind. All the way to Chevron. Is it? And of course, he would confirm it from up above. So two ways to understand the Mishnah. And of course, the point was to make sure that it's already daytime. Why do I have to go through this elaborate procedure? Why can't they just observe from down below? Mishnah tells us because it so happens that they once confused. They confuse the illumination coming from the moon with the sun. Says, "Well, mi michlef, are these two things interchangeable?" Batani will learn in the bright. Rabbi Omer, ain't a doimer timush shel levana, the timush shel chama. The timur, the illumination of the levana, is so different than the timur illumination coming from the sun. Timush shel levana, the moon's illumination, is metamer va'ila kemakel. It rises straight up like a stick, meaning it's compact and uniform, as opposed to the timur shel chama, which is mafzia lekan lekan. It spreads all over the place. They appear to be very different. There's no way to confuse one with the other. So what happened there? Tanat ve'er bishmol yomim u'unen haya. It was a cloudy day. U'mafzia lekan lekan, which case even the light coming from the moon was diffused in all directions and resembled the sun's rays, and therefore it led to confusion. Omra Papa, once we discuss the rays of the sun and the moon, The Gemara will elaborate on that. Shema mina, we can conclude from this, the fact that on a cloudy day, the sun's rays are diffused all over the place. Yoyma de iba, on a cloudy day, kule shimsha, wherever you are, you're affected by the sun's rays. Although it appears like you're protected by the clouds, but really, since there are cracks between the clouds, through which the sun's rays protrude, so in reality, you're under the influence of the sun wherever you are. L'manaf k'mina, what's the practical manifestation of this piece of advice? L'shtuchi oiris. To know that you can go ahead and dry your hides, which need sunlight. Even a cloudy day contains much sunlight. Inami. Alternatively, we have halachic, practical manifestation. Darash Rav, as Rav tells us in Maseches Pesachim, Isha, an Erev Pesach or Pesach itself, Isha lo solosh, she shouldn't need her dough for the matzahs, lo bechama, not in sunlight, v'lo bechama chama, nor using water which was heated by the sun. So even a cloudy day is included in this restriction because you're directly under the sun's rays. Amar Rav Nachman, Zuama de Shimsha, there's a girsa Ziyara de Shimsha, these rays shining forth, these sun's rays which are shining forth, protruding between the clouds, Kashim is Shimsha, are even more powerful than direct sunlight. Why is that? Because they're more concentrated. Sun's restricted and held up by the clouds. So wherever it finds an opportunity to break through, it comes through much more powerfully, much more concentrated. V'simanech, an example for this, would be dana de chala, a container containing vinegar, which is closed up and sealed. And when you go in and you drill a hole, the aroma, the reyach coming out of it is so powerful, concentrated, because it's held in there and restricted. So when it finally finds an exit, an outlet, it comes out very powerfully. So that's one thing. Number two, shavriri de shimsha, koshim shimsha. Again, the rays coming through the clouds, and if one is observing those rays, which are dangerous to one's eyesight, they're meant to look straight into the sky, into the sun. So shavriri de shimsha, the effect, the blinding effect of these rays protruding through the clouds, kashim and shimsha, once again, are more can have a more detrimental effect, more harmful than direct sunlight. V'simanech, an example for this is dilfa, like a drip coming through a leaky roof. So you have all that water gathering, and that drip just coming down in a very directed, concentrated way, which is similar to these rays protruding through the crack in the clouds. Furthermore, hiruhuri avera, koshim avera, contemplating improper thoughts, are even more detrimental and harmful than the mas avera itself. V'simanich recha, an example for this is the aroma rising from roasted meat, recha de bisra. And Rashi learns, let's take a look at Rashi, hiruhuri avera says, Rashi tavas noshim koshim, lahachish es bisari. They have a physical effect, even worse, more, it weakens the person more. Yosef mikuf shel ma'aseh, even more than the actual ma'aseh. Reich de bisram, reich basat sli, kosher lo reich mo'itchem misavale. Just as the aroma coming from the basa, which arouses a desire and can weaken a person even more, and this is even more detrimental than the ma'aseh aver itself. And some of Farshim have a different pshat. They say that the abusing one's intellect, hirura avera, is basically misusing a person's most precious asset given to him by Hashem. So in a way, it's more difficult and more it's worse off. It inflicts greater damage, spiritual damage, than the avera itself. And this is equated to the reyach. Reyach is a sense which is. In a way, more spiritual, more delicate than the other physical sense of the person. Likewise, the machshava of a person, after Chaim has a whole discussion about the machshava of the person, is his most precious asset connected to his neshama and meant to be safeguarded properly. Continues the Gemara with another few such equations. Shila de kaita, the last part of the summer, kashim e kaita. is even hotter than the rest of the summer, because the world has already been heated up thoroughly. The simanach example for this is tanura shigira, a heated oven. So once the summer has been heated throughout, the end of the summer contains a greater heat than the previous period of time. Ishta de sitva, the ishta, the fever of the sitva of the winter, a winter fever, if one experiences fever in the winter, kashya medikaita, that fever is apparently more severe and powerful than a summer fever. V'simanach, an example for this is tanura krira, a cold oven, which requires great effort to heat it up. Likewise, if a person experiences fever in the winter, apparently it's a very powerful fever, which has the ability to heat him up even in the winter. Finally, it says the more migmar ba'atikta, to relearn old information, kashim echadata, is more difficult than absorbing new information. Recycling old information doesn't go as easy as learning new information. V'simanach, an example for this is tina, forming cement from old material, bar tina, cement, the son of cement, meaning producing cement out of old cement, taking some old cement and breaking it apart, using it to form new cement. That's a difficult feat because it's been already formed and hardened and produced. To go ahead and recycle it is not so easy. So fresh is easier than relearning old information. In fact, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that's why Yeled is so fortunate, because whatever he learns is fresh. It's inscribing new material on fresh paper. So the chaperai, the youth, and person always feel that he's young at heart, and go absorb new information on the niyar chalak still available in one's brain. Okay, time for a chazar of today's daf. We learned that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if a zar should perform the sidush negizir etzim mischayv misa, it's considered avodah tama, because that's the conclusion of the wood arrangement on the mizbeach. We learned about the mamuna, who's very concerned about confusing day and night. He'd go send out the lookout to go confirm daylight has arrived, here on Mizrach, Hatshe Bechevron, to be masker, the schus of Yishen Bechevron. We learned about Tvilo Kedishlaim Raglaim required upon using facilities. We learned that technically Mincha begins at Chatzois, but we certainly wait another half hour to make sure that time has come. We learned that all our avos throughout all of history were always engaged in yeshiva and immersed in Torah. Der Chava, in fact, Avraham Avinu was mekayim the whole Torah, including Takanas Chachamim. And we learned how important it is to safeguard one's machshav, most precious asset that Hashem granted us. Much hatzlacha to you, Surah Stavis.